If you've been watching the news, you know the markets are on the verge of collapse. And these are the things you need to be thinking about to make sure you don't lose all your money.
Welcome to the NZ Guide to Financial Freedom podcast. This is run by the co-founders of a free online learning platform called moneyskills.co.nz. And it has the sole mission of providing every New Zealander the opportunity to live a more fulfilling life. So let's kick into it.
All right, if you're anything like me, you got yourself a little bit concerned. You know, you've saw the news, you've seen this new variant, New Zealand is not prepared, you got inflation, you know, there's a $116 billion annual budget for New Zealand, for the government, and about half of that is going to the COVID relief fund, which is, you know, if you think about it, the annual health budget was around about $20 billion and you're putting all your money in that. That's got to be risky. There's got to be a problem there. And then you got, you know, America that printed 40% of all money ever printed in the last year. They're trying to sign off a $1 trillion stimulus package. And you got places like Argentina. You got places in New Zealand with inflation's, you know, taking off. It's all pretty scary. How do we protect the interest of our children, of our future, of ourselves, of the people we care about, if the market's going to tank? I don't know when it's going to happen. At some point it will. Not because of COVID, not because of anything, just because that's what happens. Maybe we have a 20-year run. Maybe we have one. Maybe we have this. Maybe we have that. And you don't actually have to do anything if you've got the right investment philosophy. The more important thing is that you've got the right time horizon to achieve the objectives that you're hoping to achieve. Because if you want to buy something in 5 years and you got your money in a growth fund, well, you're going to put yourself in a position where the markets have gone down significantly. You're not able to access the money in the way that you hoped. And now, because you're making a speculative bet on terms of a diversified portfolio and when you're going to use the money, you've missed out. So there's your personal circumstances, there's having a diversified portfolio, and also looking actually the underlying investment strategy of the provider that you've got. Because, you know, you may tick all the boxes. You've got the four asset classes for long-time listeners. You understand that's cash, bonds, property, and shares. It's diversified across nations. It's not just New Zealand. And it's a large basket of goods. It's not just individual companies that you own within your share portion of the asset classes and the bonds portion. You're not only just corporate debt. You're owning, you know, government. You're owning treasury bonds. You're owning banking. You're owning, you know, some corporate, maybe some really strong institutional outfits that actually have the ability to pay that the money and have, you know, sufficient capital set aside to protect against uncertainty or a moat or innovation or some sort of point of difference so that you're comfortable that you're going to pay the money back. Now, there are some providers that do it bad, so we're going to name and shame them. Well, really, I don't want to get sued, so it's really about there's some things to be mindful of when you're choosing the provider. So a bad example of an investment for your KiwiSaver is through Nikko. And it's the ARC Disruption Fund or Disruption ARC Innovation Fund. It's one of those. And effectively what it is a collection of securities, so shares that they're invested in. And because it's not sufficiently diversified, you put yourself in the position of potentially losing money. And we don't want to put ourselves in that position. The other concern is the bond, NZ bonds, with Simplicity. Now, the concern about them is it's supposedly a conservative investment. If you've got all your asset, all your investments in bonds, you'd hope there's not much volatility, there's a consistent return, and then you can sell your position because there's, you know, a certain level of liquidity. You want to make sure, you know, you're in a position where you can exit if you need to. The concern with that fund with Simplicity is that they've got a long-term fund. And it might have made sense. It might have made sense to have those bonds with that maturity at a certain point because, you know, they were thinking, you know, they wanted to protect their interest, so they locked in a certain return, or maybe they could get a higher fixed return because, you know, if you're taking on more risk, which is, you know, if you're taking on a bond that isn't going to get paid off for like more than 1 year, like quite a significant period, say 7 years from now, 20 years from now, then you're taking on a little bit of risk because, you know, interest rates could fluctuate over time. You're holding this bond that's, in comparison to the competitors, isn't worth that much. So it's actually quite hard to sell your position. So with that, and then the other thing, it's just in the New Zealand bond market, which, you know, there is liquidity, but there's not as much liquidity as you might have with like a treasury bond or if you own, you know, international bonds instead of just the small market in New Zealand. So the challenge they face now is they've got long-term bonds that have suddenly, there's been an increase in price of the competitors. So they've got this long-term bond that in comparison isn't doing too flash hot, so people aren't offering them a good value. So a supposedly conservative investment is actually quite volatile and uncomfortable for people. So there's things like that you got to be mindful of, but it's the same concept as diversification. So if you're looking at the share portion, you're making sure that's diversified across countries, developing world and the emerging world, and making sure that, you know, it's not all the same sectors. You know, if you're all invested in cryptocurrency and there's some sort of change in cryptocurrency where that sector is no longer relevant because there's a new innovation that's completely separate, it's not built on the blockchain. So, you know, you put yourself in a position to, you know, lose everything because you're choosing sectors that have a strong correlation to each other because they're all in one. Something happens, you're fucked. Same concept though, don't have your eggs in one basket. Don't have all your eggs in one sector. Don't have all your eggs in just a few equities or shares. Make sure you don't have all your eggs in one basket in terms of long-term bonds, making sure you're diversified. And how you might protect yourself from like bond prices increasing is, you know, you look at the other attributes of the bonds. You know, do they have a high credit rating, meaning that people feel more comfortable that the people are going to pay them back, so they're more comfortable buying your bond even though the price isn't as good. Or if it's short term, so it's just shorter term, you don't get as high a return, but at least you're comfortable with it. At least you know, okay, by this period of time, at least they would have paid it off, so I feel comfortable with that idea. And even with cash, so cash is banks, and you know, only one New Zealand bank's come close to being a little bit dicey. But that's not to say there couldn't be a position where New Zealand banks aren't able to protect the interest of your money because the economy's lost trust, everyone's lining up, and they're trying to juggle the combination of loaning money and getting money. So they, you know, they can't balance it and they can't pay the money that you need, and they lose trust and they go bankrupt. Lehman Brothers would be a good example of that. So it is possible, but, you know, in New Zealand, they got great lending criteria. I like to think that, you know, they're protected in that sense, but it can still happen. And not, and if you got all your eggs in one basket, you got it in the bank, then, you know, you're putting yourself in that position. But my hope is at least that's not going to be a concern in New Zealand. Could happen, but probably won't. Fingers crossed anyways. So the question when I started this podcast was around, what do you do when there is about to be a market correction? So you have, you know, people like Warren Buffett, you see, okay, he's got a huge cash position right now. He must think the markets are going to collapse. Not necessarily how Warren Buffett works is he's a business owner and he's got enough emotional fortitude and wisdom to only buy businesses he believes in and he can add value to and they come into the books. And one of the secure things that he offers the business owners is saying, hey, we're not here to sell our position. We want to own the company and we want you to do the thing. So he, you know, what was his thing? He would only work with someone that he'd be comfortable if they dated his daughter, like that level of trust. So that's one thing, you know, okay, you might think, why don't I hold cash? And, you know, people for the last decade have been saying at some point, the market's going to collapse. So they've been holding cash for the opportunity to capitalize on the underpriced assets. But through that time, because they're out of the market, they've, you know, missed out on record returns. So holding cash, you don't know when the top of the market is, you don't know when the bottom of the market is. And by you being out of it, you're missing out on potential returns. So if you just leave it and you adjust your managed fund to achieve the outcomes you're wanting, which is basically a time horizon before you need the money. So a balanced fund, you need it in 5 to 7 years, over 10 years for a growth, over 12 years for aggressive, and between 3 and 5 years for a conservative. Anything less than that, it's better to have in the bank. So you can gear your investment to achieve the outcome of your lifestyle is more important, because if you take on more risk with the growth fund when you're about to get your money out in 2 years, you could have timed that to the point where the market crashed and your investment's gone down 30, 40%. So you haven't protected yourself against that uncertainty. So it's better to adjust your investment to achieve your own personal lifestyle objectives, and then also when you're approaching the time that you'll take the money out, then you're going even more conservative or even cash if you can, just to protect against that uncertainty, because, you know, even conservative funds can go down. And that's basically the gist of what you need to be mindful of when there's a market correction. Your motivation might be hold cash out of fear or opportunity, waiting for the opportunity to invest, or out of fear that you're going to lose money. Or, you know, you might be trying to think that the market's going to go really well, so you're putting all your money in a speculative sector or a speculative investment or an individual equity or shares or company, and that doesn't actually live up to expectation, and you put yourself in a position of losing all your money. And so irrespective if the market's going up and down like a yo-yo, or if the, you know, the market's going to take off in the next 10 years, or even if, you know, there's a market crash for 4 to 5 years, the most important thing is that you've got a diversified portfolio that doesn't have all your eggs in one basket. It's tax efficient. It helps you achieve the objectives you want in life. It's liquid, so you can always exit if needed. And the underlying investment structure of it has a custodial trustee to protect your interests from, you know, the uncertainty of your potential provider going under. So you've got the separate entity that owns the money, so it protects you against creditor risk from the provider that you're invested in. And most KiwiSavers had that structure. So that's the idea. So the fear, the greed, the potential to make a lot of money or lose money, the most important thing is to have a diversified approach to investment, ticking all those different boxes and making sure it's flexible to adapt to your uncertain personal circumstances and geared towards achieving an objective if you're clear and you know what you're hoping to achieve by a certain time. So that was somewhat all over the place. I hope that added value. We're going to get guests back on here because I'm tired of just listening to myself. And we want to up the ante on guests. So if you think there's any like valuable guests out there that you'd love for me to talk to and have on, we'll have at it. And I like to expand this podcast into not just, you know, the financial space, but psychological and business, which is sort of how it's been. It's just a great interest of mine around the psychology and helping people. And if I could be someone that not only helps people with their financial situation, achieving freedom, being able to live the lifestyle of their choice, but also feeling comfortable and feeling content with their life because of the emotional support and understanding of themselves and the people around them. So if you think that's useful, or you feel like there's some way we can improve, I'd appreciate if you give us a review or subscribe or leave a comment. It just helps us improve this product. And I know it slips somewhat because a lot of you aren't listening as often as you used to. So I need to up my game, but appreciate it all the same. And it's only going to go up from here. Thanks, guys.